Well, one of those annoying things that instantly make their way into the trash, at least in my house, are those pieces of mail that are sent to occupant or current resident. I mean, basically, you think about it. What is that saying? It's saying we really don't care who lives here. We just want to get this junk into your hands so that maybe you'll look at it long enough before it goes in the trash can. Even if you move, and I'll verify this because we just recently moved. Even if you move, occupant mail seems to follow you. It hunts you down. Well, trouble will discover your address also. It maybe doesn't hunt you down personally, but it does hunt anyone it chooses. And it seems like in this life, either we are in the midst of a trial, or maybe we've just come out of a trial, or if things are going along smoothly, you're maybe getting ready to head into a trial. Life has its ups and downs. Life has its in and outs, its pleasure and pain. And yes, God is good all the time, but let's face it, sometimes life doesn't feel too good. Well, we've journeyed through this series where we've looked at various one another statements found in the Bible of how Christians should treat each other. In this series, Sandbox Fellowship, I named it that because sometimes we do act like children and throw sand at each other as Christians instead of living the fellowship that God has called us to live. And this week we're going to look particularly at comfort one another. I've entitled this morning's sermon, When Opposites Attract. When opposites attract. And our scripture this morning is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." Well, Paul talked more or wrote more about comfort than any other New Testament writer. He also talked more about suffering. He spoke more about this topic in 2 Corinthians than any one of his other letters. The word for comfort shows up 24 times in this letter alone. I want you to look at on the screen real quick at that scripture passage again. I'm not going to read it through, but look where I've highlighted. In these five verses, comfort, comforts, comfort, comfort, comforted, comfort, comfort, comforted, and comfort. In just five verses, Paul used the word comfort or comforts or comforted 10 different times. Why did he emphasize this word comfort so much? Well, I think the answer can be found by looking at that same passage of Scripture highlighted a little differently. This time, look at what it says. Put up the next screen. Affliction, affliction, suffering, afflicted, sufferings, suffer, and sufferings. In the exact same verses, he wrote variations of the word affliction and suffering 7 times. Comfort and suffering are the opposites that attract. They are two sides of the same coin. Oh, Jesus warned us about sufferings that we'll have in this life. Well, let's face it, we don't want to hear about that because Many Christians think, well, everybody should love us because we're Christians, right? Or maybe we think, well, being a Christian should mean I don't have any problems, right? Well, sometimes we do lie to ourselves. What did Jesus say in John 16, 33? He said there, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus didn't say that his followers might have a problem now and then, little problem. He said you will have tribulation. And Jesus then linked the word peace as his way of describing comfort. Well, let's take a moment and define this word comfort, because it's so important for us to grasp it. Because I'm afraid what has happened over the centuries is that we have watered down this word comfort to something it didn't originally mean. Today, comfort includes things like comfort food, right? Maybe that's chocolate for you. Maybe that is ice cream for you. Maybe that's pizza. Personally, for me, it's Diet Mountain Dew and nacho cheese Doritos. What do we place on our beds when it gets cold? We want it right now, right? A comforter to keep us nice and warm. We look to have a comfortable living when we retire, a life of ease. Well, and in each of these cases, it's kind of like something that's kind of warm and gushy to make us feel happy. The English word comfort has changed from its original meaning. Actually, our English word comes from a Latin word, comfortus, made up of two words. Com, C-O-M, means with or together. It's where we get our word come from, come together. The last part, fortis, is where we get our words fortification and fortify. It means strength, it means bravery. And so comfort in its original meaning means to brave together, to be strong together. To brave together is far from just feeling comfortable. To join together, to be brave together in this life is much greater than comfort food. To brave together is actually what Paul was getting across when he used the term comfort. Brave together. Well, let's look at a few things about this passage of Scripture that we just read. First, comfort through humility. Through humility. Look at what Paul taught the Corinthian church. Paul understood affliction. He understood sufferings. He understood beatings. He understood shipwreck and jail time and ridicule. He said there are times when he went without food. In the verse, right after the one that we just read a few minutes ago, Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 1:8. He said, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. We despaired of life itself. Paul felt so burdened from the affliction, from the sufferings that he was carrying, that he started having these thoughts of whether it was better for God to just take him on home. Then later, in this exact same letter, Paul described what he called a thorn in the flesh. Now, we got all sorts of people guessing what was Paul's thorn in the flesh, and we're not 100% sure of what that suffering was that he felt. But there is something we do know for sure. And that is, after Paul pleaded with God three different times, take this thorn from me, take this thorn from me, take this thorn from me, God answered his prayer in this way, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, that is, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When Paul spoke of comfort and suffering in this letter, he got it. He understood it. He understood it from personal experience. In the main scripture, Paul began that part by praising God. I don't know if you picked up on that enough. He humbled himself before God. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's how he started this, before he started a conversation about suffering and comfort. And I thought to myself, could it be that we get bogged down in our sufferings because we don't humbly praise God no matter the situation in life? We may have a proverbial thorn in the flesh in our lives, and maybe we get angry with God. We get angry instead of acknowledging that God's grace is sufficient. Maybe God's comfort is lacking in you because you got a chip on your shoulder with God. Or maybe you have a chip on your shoulder with a fellow Christian. And as I've been telling you in this series all along, the relationship we have this way with God and the relationship we have this way with each other are tied strongly together. And so in this horizontal relationship, if you're carrying a chip against another Christian, actually you're carrying a chip on your shoulder against God. True comfort means humility before our God. Also, we see in this comfort from God. Paul wrote in verse 4, he said, "Who, that is God, comforts us in all affliction." God comforts us. I mean, just why did Jesus call the Holy Spirit the Comforter? Because it is God directly interacting with our lives through the Holy Spirit to bring the comfort within us. But see, the passage takes it a little bit further, because God's got more in mind about this whole idea of comfort, and that is comfort from each other. Comfort from each other. Paul wrote, "So," in other words, who God comforts us in all affliction, "so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction." This is spiritual algebra. Spiritual algebra. Now, I know I probably lost half of you by mentioning that evil term, algebra. You're having some type of high school flashback, okay? Because that just wasn't your thing. But let me tell you of a good algebra. The most basic algebraic equation is A plus B equals C. That's the basics. Look at God's spiritual algebra. He says A is our sufferings. Our sufferings. And then he says, B, we add to it our suffering plus God's comfort. But the equation isn't done yet, because there's C. Our sufferings plus God's comfort equals comforting others. Us going out and comforting others. Because we are followers of Jesus Christ, the Father wants us to take the experiences we've had and our sufferings and help others who are going through something similar or the same. Paul could comfort others because he was comforted in his sufferings. Sunday, September 16th, 2007, almost 9 years ago now, was one of the darkest days in the life for Debbie and me. On that day, our oldest daughter, who was 21 at the time, ran away to live in Dallas, Texas, with a man who was 14 years her senior. Now, he was still married. He had applied for a divorce, but he was still married. He also had two children. We were in great, great pain. Life at that moment seemed to come to a screeching halt. The world was at its most dismal for us. Oh, we cried. We pleaded. We didn't understand. Things seemed to be so happy, even just the day before, even less than about 12 hours before. I mean, we had one of our family nights together. It was the kids were there, and we had a movie night and had snacks and all sorts of stuff and laughed and carried on. It just caught us so out of the blue. Have you ever questioned God? I did. Why, God? Why, God? We thought we did everything right. We appeared to have the perfect little family. When these times come, Satan knows full well he cannot steal our salvation from us. So instead, he does an end run in our lives. Instead, he will try to make us ineffective in Christ when all possible. Oh, I could have come very, very bitter at that point. I could have walked away from God's call on my life, and many do when afflictions come in their lives. As a minister, our church could have turned on us, called us bad parents, but quite the opposite happened. Instead, we were comforted by our church. We were comforted by the Holy Spirit. And even in the midst of what was a very dark and gloomy days for our lives, God took the gloom and he performed marvelous things in our oldest daughter's life and in our lives. And one of them is that she's the one that gave permission to tell the story. He has turned her into a musical force for his glory. Our story of pain has been used to help other parents deal with wayward adult children of their own. And we have been amazed of how the story of our suffering plus God's comfort has equaled our chance to help others. We have seen spiritual algebra at work. All of us must learn to comfort one another, especially when we have similar stories. But see, it takes something else involved with this comfort. It takes comfort through openness. Openness. That's hard for us to do, isn't it, to be open with each other? I'm afraid too many Christians are scared to tell about their hurts, to tell about their sufferings, to tell about the things that they're dealing with in life. Maybe they think someone will make fun of them or look down on them. Well, let me be frank with you again. There have been people who looked down on us and our daughter. It was either we weren't good parents or she was just a very bad daughter. And I'll be very blunt again. Those thoughts are ignorant. They're also full of self-righteous pride. They're also harmful, and this is the most important. They are harmful to others who are seeking and needing comfort in their lives when they hear things like that. Such naysayers only keep others who are suffering, other Christians who are suffering, from receiving the comfort that God has for them through other Christians. We must be people of openness and stop running from our afflictions, stop running from our suffering, stop hiding them. And until we are open, we will not be comforters to one another. Comfort and openness are crucial. Paul spoke of his suffering and his journey so that he could comfort the church at Corinth. But also within this is the phrase comfort in sufferings. Comfort in sufferings. We say things like, why must I suffer? Why must I suffer? Why can't life be a breeze? Why can't it be all comfortable, as in warm and cozy? Look at verse 5 and 6 again. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Well, Christ suffered, and he understands our sufferings. And because he understands our sufferings, he also understands our need for comfort. And when I said comfort in sufferings, you probably centered on either the word comfort or the word sufferings, and you probably ignored the little bitty word, the little preposition, in. In. And I think too often we ignore another major preposition of in that's found in another letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome, where he said in Romans 8, 35 through 37, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." And then he said, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." We're often tempted to believe, I think, that God promised to keep us from trials, keep us from tests, keep us from pain. And when he doesn't, we feel let down. We feel discouraged or maybe defeated. And somehow, sometimes I think this is maybe an American thing. Because there are people all over the world whose Christianity is being put to the test. There are many who are martyrs for Jesus Christ. They understand suffering. They understand affliction. They've been in it, and they rely upon the comfort from God and from others in the midst of that. They understand it fully. And I think as a country, yes, we've had it so easy as Christians for so long that maybe we really don't grasp what it means to have a true trial or test or pain. But God never promised to deliver us from these things. He said, he promised that in the midst of these things, in the midst of them, we overwhelmingly conquer. Conquer in trials, not to avoid trials. Whatever happens to you, God promises to use it for your good if you are his child and if you live according to his purposes. When you fully grasp that, it'll help you receive the comfort during life struggles, and it will empower you to comfort others along the way. Even though how our daughter left is not how I would have planned it, I also know that in that experience, Debbie and I grew in Jesus, and we found comfort and can comfort others. We also know that our daughter, while she has grown greatly in the midst of this, she had to grow up, and she grew greatly in the Lord in this experience. Let me give you a couple of potential reasons for suffering in life. It's not full. It's just a couple of them. One is suffering to restore relationships. Suffering to restore relationships. Often God allows suffering in our lives because we have gotten away from him, and he wants us back. He wants us back in fellowship with him. Sometimes God allows troubles or trials in our life to get our attention, to get our focus back onto him. Because let's face it, in the easy times, it can become very easy also to ignore God. And God says, "I want your fellowship in good times and bad times." Sometimes he has to hit us over the head with a proverbial 2x4 to bring us back to him. But there's another area, suffering to strengthen relationships, to strengthen them. When a grain of sand gets inside a clam or an oyster, it causes that irritation inside, that the grain of sand is harsh and it scratches the smooth inside of the clam or oyster. And as it continues that chafing inside, the mollusk then secretes this substance that goes around that particle of sand. And of course, as we know, the result is a beautifully rounded, shiny pearl. What began as a nasty irritation to an aquatic creature becomes beautiful and valuable. Well, God will often allow our troubles and our pains to reveal the pearl of his presence in our lives. and to strengthen us for the days ahead. You don't know if maybe the journey you are on right now is maybe going to end up preparing you for something down the road. You don't know if the journey you're on right now may be preparing someone else that you know so that you can comfort them. What you see is a nasty trial that irritates your life, God sees as a formation of a great pearl in your life that one day will be preparation for something as planned for you. As the body of followers called Calvary Baptist, we are to comfort those in affliction with the comfort we receive from God during our times of pain. Affliction should attract the spirit of comfort in our lives, and comfort is more than coming up and patting somebody on the back and say, "Hang in there, friend." Comfort is not sympathy. Sympathy is, "I feel sorry for you." No, it's empathy. It's empathy. It's identifying with the other person because you've been there too. And it's giving legitimate help when needed and when you are able. And it's offering prayers of love for that person. God has charged us to comfort one another as you and I have received comfort directly from God and from other Christians. But until we get honest with each other and willing to share our burdens and our trials that we are experiencing, it's hard to find the comfort of God that He is ready for you and me in this sandbox fellowship together. See, it's hard for us to admit our struggles. It's hard for us to be open about our struggles. But that's what God is encouraging us to do. Be open with each other. Be honest with each other about it. Because none of us are perfect. Not a single one of us in this room. We all have our struggles. I have them every day. The body of believers called church should be a place where we can let our hair down and be open to one another. Only then can we be who God has called us to be and to comfort one another when times are difficult. Some of you this morning have a trial that you're going through right now. I don't know, it's got to be in a room with this number of people in it. Somebody's going to be going through a trial. But maybe you're not receiving the comfort that God has in store for you because you haven't been willing to share that trial with someone. And it could be that there's someone sitting across the room that has been through a very similar experience in this life. And they're just waiting to be a source of comfort. But they don't know anything about it because you're not willing to be open. If you don't share, you may be missing out on God's blessing that He has for your life. Some of you maybe have never found the ultimate comfort. And that is the forgiveness of your sin. That is being open to God in this case in such a way that you say, "Yes, God, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit that I've sinned in my life, God. And I know, God, that I can't do this thing on my own, that I need your forgiveness in my life." And that you turn to Him and you say, "I believe who you are. I believe that you sent your Son for me, that your Son carried my sin on the cross, and I believe exactly who He is, that He is the Son of God. And Father, I confess that I am that sinner. I need you, and that I want you as Lord of my life," and commit to walking in Him. And maybe that's where you are, to find the ultimate comfort this morning, the forgiveness of sin. That big old rock of sin that's been on your shoulder can finally roll off because God takes control of it. And maybe this morning you need to make that in your life the priority, asking Jesus Christ in your heart. As we come in just a moment to our time of invitation, as we sing together, Mike and I will be up here in the front, and we'll be willing to share with you here. Or maybe if you just want to talk more about it, be willing to share with you during the Sunday school hour more about this. What does it mean? It's that important. To get it straight today, if all possible, in your life. Or maybe it is other things that you're just carrying, burdens you're carrying. And maybe even during this time you want to come and pray. Maybe pray with someone nearby about the struggles that you're dealing with today. And be open with others that they can be lifting you up and that God can point his area of comfort towards you. Let's go to him now in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you once again for the wonderful words from that you gave to the Apostle Paul, and that Father has now shared with us centuries later. Lord, we are so thankful that you send the Holy Spirit, the great comforter within our lives. But Father, we also know that you gave us each other because we are family. We are the body of Jesus Christ, and we are here to help each other, to comfort each other, and to be there in those times of need. Lord, guide and lead now. If there's someone here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that Father, you will, Lord, open up their hearts to that decision this day, that you may be glorified and honored through it all. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.